You're listening to a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada.
All right. Good morning. Good morning. So many thoughts to share with you guys this morning. And my very first one is just, it's always just an honor to be here with you guys and to preach God's word and be with the family, because we're family. And you can look at everybody in this room, and we all look different, but we are all family in the body of Christ. Can I get an amen? And so whether I preach in Chico, at our church, primarily, like coming here, I would preach the same thing at my church that I would here, because the word of God doesn't change. And so I'm excited to share that with you guys. We love Louie and Joni just so much. You guys... I have, the last probably 4 or 5 years, I've gotten to know a lot more pastors just within Foursquare and actually a little bit further beyond that. And I've seen some really, really wonderful pastors, and then I've seen some not wonderful pastors. And I'm sure you've probably come across both yourselves. And that's just that's a sad reality. But you guys, I want you to just take a second and remember or be reminded, maybe from a different voice, that your pastors are phenomenal. You have really healthy pastors who love you, who care for you, who care for the church, who have a great team. And that, it takes a lot to do that. But most of all, it takes a heart that's reflecting Christ more than anything. And it takes a humble stance in that sense to really allow the Lord to do a work in my own heart so that I can lead well. And so I just really kind of want to remind you of that. So can we just give it up for Pastor Louie and Joni? Can we just, like, amazing, thank you. Not only just in practical wisdom and pastoral wisdom, but just as wonderful humans. You guys have become our really good friends over the last couple of years even. And, of course, you guys have known me forever. And so we're just really, really grateful and really honored to be here and share with you guys this morning. So, just a real quick note about myself. Curtis and I have been leading Life Church in Chico for 12 years. And that feels weird to say that, actually. It's been a wonderful ride, up and down and all the way around. And the only way we've gotten through it is because of pastors like you guys have here, Pastors Louie and Joni. And so... we've been there for 12 years. Curtis and I have been married 18 years. Louie already shared about our 4 kids. If you want any, we'll probably give you one if you would like one. Not Emmett, he's with us right now, but maybe one of the others if you'd like. They cost a lot, so I don't know if you're up for that. Last time I was here, last summer, actually, I don't know if you were here, I was still on crutches. I had a major surgery, and I hadn't been able to do anything active for like 2 full years, which is like just brutal for me, because I like to be outside. I like to be very active, and so I just want to celebrate with you guys 2-year mark, the week of the two, like after hurting my knee and then having surgery a year later and then a full year recovery, I finally ran my first trail run. So I'm back on the trails a little bit, and not to the degree that I was, but it's back in action. So, and I could actually walk up the stairs on my own 2 feet, and nobody had to help me. And I'm not scared about falling down the stairs and trying to figure out how to do crutches and preach at the same time. It's just not a fun experience. I wanted to share with you guys, Pastor Louie has been in this identity series. Of course, you guys have been going through that. If you haven't listened and heard, I think it's 8 or 9 of them. This is number 10. But if you haven't heard the last 9, I want to encourage you, like while you're driving, while you're doing dishes or mowing the lawn or whatever you're doing, plug in the podcast and listen to these things, because it is really good. It's very, very sound, incredible, incredible stuff. When Louie told me he was doing an identity series and asked me to speak, we weren't sure if I was going to speak on identity. I will be doing that today. But the very first thing that came to my mind is an episode from The Office. Might be my guilty pleasure. I'm not sure. There's an episode where one of the characters, Jim, he walks in to the office dressed as Dwight. If you remember this, he walks in. He has his hair like Dwight, and he has the big rimmed glasses like Dwight. He has the little calculator watch like Dwight, and he sits down across from Dwight, and he's just acting completely like Dwight, not himself. And he starts asking him questions. Which bear is best? And he says, false. You know, and then he goes into this whole thing, and Dwight starts to look at him like, and he goes, Jim, identity theft is a real crime, and millions of people suffer from it every year. And then Jim jumps up and he goes, Michael! And he runs into Michael's office, and it's a whole funny thing. And so that's what I was thinking about identity and just thinking about all the different ways you can talk about identity. Identity theft, of course, is a real thing. So I pray for you if that's happened to you. But it's unique how the Lord has given us an identity, but everything else tells us something contrary to that identity. The enemy will use any and every tactic to distort that original identity of who he's made you to be. And like Jim coming in, acting like Dwight, he's carrying a persona of somebody else, but it's not, he's a different person. And sometimes in our own thinking, I think we can try and put on a different persona. I want to be like that person. Hey, my neighbor's got this thing, or my coworker, he's really good at that, or she's really good at that. So I'm going to kind of be that representation. And I would say, stop it. Like, God has made you specifically the way he has made you. He loves you. He sees you. He's formed you in your mother's womb. And so he's given you a specific identity that you're to walk in. And a lot of times we've got to, I think you shared this a little bit, like you've shedding this away, these things away. And the only way you can do that is through leaning into Christ. As you draw near to him, he draws near to you, and in community with believers. So well done for being here at church. Really, really proud of you. Pastor Louis used a line, it's time to dive in. And so I want to encourage you, just like go for it. Don't hold back. Don't not ask questions. Go to the word. Go to the Lord in prayer. Like go after these things of what the Lord is really speaking to you and really leading you in. I want to read the passage that Pastor Louis has been reading from Isaiah 43. So if you would with me, Isaiah 43, 1-7, I'm just going to read it and then we're going to jump in. So he says this, but now this is what the Lord says. He who created you. Okay, I'm going to just pause there because I do that all the time. He who created you. He is the author of your life. He's formed you. He's created you. So if we're reading this, man, the Lord has created me. He formed you, Israel. And then he says, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Cush and Seba in your stead. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life. Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone, can you guys all say everyone? Everyone who is called by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made. Can you just look at the person next to you and just say, you belong here? You belong here? I'm really grateful that Pastor Louis has jumped into the series, and he used a question, and then as a kind of a process, he's saying, the question a lot of times is, who am I? Who am I? I mean, I imagine you guys have all asked that yourselves. Who am I? Like, who, Lord, who did you make me to be? Or especially as you're growing up, you use a lot of junior high to high school to young adult analogies, and oh my goodness, is that not true? It's like in junior high, you're trying to be your own identity thing, and then in high school, you just want to conform and fit in and be whoever the group is, you know? And then as a young adult, you begin to blossom and learn a little bit more of your own characteristics, and the Lord begins to teach you all these things. But the goal is to get to who I am. The goal is to get to that point, who I am. And there's lots of roads to go down. I'm going to have a lot of scripture this morning. But if I can get to the place where I know who I am, the thing that I love about this the most is I know who I'm not. And I think I actually shared a little bit about that last year with John the Baptist. It's like, I know who I'm not. And I'm super confident that I am not a Chris worship leader, because that's like, you're amazing and I'm not. And you wouldn't want me leading worship. And I'm totally fine like going, dude, you're amazing. Like, well done. Like, and I can celebrate in those things. When I know who I'm not, I can celebrate everybody else. And I can be like, can you just come hang out with me? Because you make me better. I don't have to get insecure. I can stand on my own 2 feet and go, man, I know who God's made me to be. I'm not that. I'm not that. And I'm actually not most things. And it's quite all right. And it's a great humble approach just to go, man, we're all in this together. And I need you and you need me. And that's a beautiful place to be in. So I'm just really glad about this process of thinking about that question, who am I? And then trying to get to this, who I am. When you know who you are, okay, I'm going to just walk through this process. It's not on the screen, but when you know who you are, it reveals why you were made. When you know who you are, it reveals why you were made and then what you're to do about it. So I often think of like, hey, if I'm going to start here, it's going to knock these dominoes down. And I think I see that a lot of times in scripture. You talk through all of these different passages and you see, if I do this, then these things are going to probably unfold and we can see these things. But when you know who you are, it reveals why you were made and what you are to do. On the screen, it's going to say this: a distorted identity produces, in my mind, three things: chaos, confusion, and control. So if you're, who's a note taker in the house? We got three. What are you going to do to remember this? This is the best sermon since last week. All right? Whatever you need to do, this is the reality is like, man, a distorted identity, and I would say in parentheses, not one that's not centered on Christ. Any identity not centered on Christ is distorted. It's like looking, trying to figure out your identity through a kaleidoscope. It's like, I don't know. So a distorted identity produces these things, and actually you can see this at the fall of man. Like as soon as the fall happened, all of these things happened. Chaos ensued when sin entered the world. Adam and Eve were super confused about their own identity. Pastor Louis hit on that. And then what did they try and do? They tried to control it. And what do we try to do? We try to control life because it's so chaotic and confusing. So we try and control things. I won't ask for a raise of hands, but who's the control freak in the house? Like, we might have a little bit of that, okay? Oh, hey, thank you for your vulnerability, you know? This is me. I'm the control freak. I get it. But maybe a couple of questions about these. So if you find yourself in a chaotic state of life, it might just be the fact that you have too many kids. Okay, that just might be the reality of life. But just for a season, okay? But if you find yourself having one drama, like dramatic event after another, after every corner, there just seems to be this chaos ensuing all the time. I actually think it could be pointing to a real flaw in your identity. Because you might be trying to grab hold of these different things that God actually never intended you to grab hold of, and you're trying to do something, not bad or ill-willed, but you're doing something outside of, no, God's saying, I made you this way. So when you're trying to do that, of course you're going to have dramatic events happening one after another after another. So this is why I'm like, man, go after the very things that God has asked you to do and who he's made you to be, and then things are going to unroll. So if you live in chaos or if you find that to be happening, I would say maybe a good question is ask the Lord, who have you made me to be? And maybe this chaos is causing all of this because I have a distorted identity. Are you confused about where you belong in life? Are you confused? You feel like confusion is something, just maybe a big dark cloud over your thinking, that maybe the Holy Spirit would come in and just kind of blow that away and reveal a little bit more of who he's made you to be. Because as I understand my character and who God's made me to be, I'm not confused about all of the other people in my life. I know where I stand. I don't have to be like worried and insecure. And so confusion ends up becoming something that is not exactly a result of this distorted reality or this distorted identity, and then being in control all the time. And that's really a matter of just ensuring that chaos never gets to you. So I'm going to control everything I possibly can so that nothing bad happens to me. instead of just releasing your life to the Lord and allowing him to lead your life and being okay with what happens. And so these are all connected to your identity. So to know who you are, though, the flip side of this, as you begin to understand your identity, and this is your Christian identity because Christ in you, okay? So we'll get to that in a second, but to know who you are produces peace and hope. Anybody a fan of peace? Anybody? Like, I only saw a few hands raised. Oh, okay, there were a few more, but there's still some that don't want peace. I'm confused about this. All right, I do this with my church all the time, so just forgive me if you're like, oh my gosh, please stop making me do things. I'm a fan of peace. I'm sorry, I can't remember. Oh, you shared on, you know, like the scripture that Jesus gave us peace in John chapter 15. Like he gave us peace. He left peace with us. My goodness. Shouldn't we, if we have this Holy Spirit that is peace, shouldn't we live in peace? Man, we can just go, life is going to just kick our butts. It's going to have ups and downs. But that has nothing to do with peace. I can have peace in the midst of the chaos about. All right, so I have this peace, this identity in Christ. It produces this peace and it produces this hope that says, man, I've got somewhere to go. I've got something to do. I have aspirations for my life because Christ knows the works that he's prepared for me. This Ephesians chapter 3 type of thing where, no, I've got hope because, man, I've got until the Lord takes me, I've got something to do. And so therefore I have purpose, and therefore it produces this hope that goes, and by the way, this eternal hope, of course, right? Like, man, eternity with all you is going to be great. So that hope is incredible. So this knowing your identity produces this peace and this hope, and it evicts, okay? And this is what will happen in your hearts and your minds. So maybe if this is the only thing you walk away with today, if you think, man, I have had a pretty confusing or chaotic life, that I've just been bounced around all over the place, and it feels like my mind and my heart is like a ping pong table. When you understand the peace of Christ, the identity in Christ produces this peace and this hope, it evicts, okay? It evicts chaos and confusion and this place of control. So I would just invite you, if those are the three things that you're like, oh, or one of them that maybe plagues you, or maybe all three, come get prayer. Like, come talk and say, man, I'm constantly living under this thing of this chaos, and I don't want to have a dramatic life. And it's really powerful when you allow the Lord to just transform your heart and your mind in these ways. All right, so I want to talk about this national, up here it's going to be national identity crisis. I'd probably say cultural would be a better term because I'm not looking at a Christian nationalistic thing up here. I'm just saying this cultural identity crisis. I think in our culture we have a massive identity crisis at our hands. It's incredible. Pastor Louis used the quote from, I think it's a psychologist. He says, humans are the only species who have identity crisis. You know, your dog does not have an identity crisis. Okay, like you can be as mean as you can to it and it'll still come back wagging its tail, just like, hey, just pet me, I love you, I want you to love me. You know, like, no other animal has this problem, and it's pretty incredible to think, like, humans are made differently. God's creation, we are his foremost creation in that sense. And so we have this place that the enemy wants to distort our identity. He's going to constantly come at this identity with you individually and then with us corporately. And of course, if that happens, it's going to happen nationally, is kind of what I'm saying. So we're going to have this massive problem. And I think if we look at culture as a whole, we're going, we've got a few problems. And sometimes it feels hopeless, doesn't it? It feels like, man, is there any hope right now? Is there anything that I can do that could help effect change? And the answer is probably no. I'm so sorry to burst your bubble. But it's Christ in you that can affect change. But if I don't know who I am and Christ in me, if I don't understand that, it's going to be a real hard transition. That's a real hard bridge to make. Like, I can't have a great impact in other people's lives if I don't even know who God's made me to be. It doesn't mean it's impossible. It doesn't mean you can't be nice and kind and all that stuff. But man, when I'm confident in who God's made me and the gifts and the skill sets he's given me, then I have the ability to go after it. And I don't have to worry about all the other things that I'm just terrible at. I always go back to that. But the enemy wants to come in and control and change and twist. It would make sense that he wants to attack our personal identity. I'm just going to read this. It says this: everyone is imposing their belief systems, their ideologies on every person, every community, every business, every nonprofit, every church even. Like, there's just this heavy, oppressive burden to say, this is who you should be. And that we're being imposed upon. And if you don't conform, canceled. Anybody really a fan of cancel culture? Anybody? Nobody's raising their hand. Good job. Finally, the question that I didn't want you guys to raise your hand on. You're like, those introverts are like, finally. Here, can I just invite you as a believer, if you're a believer? If cancel culture is knocking on your door for whatever reason, you know what the best thing to do is? Just say no. No, I'm not going to entertain that. I'm not going down that road. I'm not going to fight this fight. This is a different fight. And if I just say no in confidence, they're going to go somewhere else. And that's perfectly fine, because I have a job to do that the Lord has given me. And if I entertain this, it's going to distract me from what he wants me to do. And it distorts my identity. Because then I'm fighting against people and ideologies and principalities and the schemes of the devil instead of just going, Jesus, what do you have for me? And that is a beautiful place to be in. And that's what I want to encourage you. Just like, no, I don't have to give in to all this stuff. No, I don't want to get distracted. The Lord has a plan for me. And so, Jesus, teach me more about who you've made me to be so that I can excel in this until the end of my days. Until I take that last breath. I've been telling our church more and more, like, I want at the end of the day, I want all the chips on the table. Like, I don't want anything left that I can possibly give away. But I don't want to get, if I get distracted, I'm going to have a pot over here that goes, oh man, I didn't use the things that God's given me. And I want to make sure that this happens. So the culture of this age, I would say, is who's your tribe? Are you with me or are you against me? Are you an ally? Like, oh my goodness, I love Jesus. Can we just make it that simple? I just want to, like, love my wife and have a healthy marriage and a healthy family and be a good congregant member and a pastor and a community member. These are the things that are really, really important. So today we're in a culture that celebrates sin and persecutes righteousness. It's an upside-down culture. It celebrates sin and persecutes righteousness. We're in a where reality is insanity and insanity is normalized. If you're tracking with me, sin is not even a thing anymore. It's been erased. Sin has been undefined, not redefined. It's just nothing. Like, the world doesn't understand what sin is. But friends, let me just say, in-house, those who are believers, sin is a big deal. And sin is another distractor that's going to take away from the mission that God's called you to do. So that's why we got to be vulnerable. That's why we got to get prayer. That's why we have a body of Christ that iron sharpens iron, that I can go to Louie and go, you can be as honest as you want with me. Was I off here? Are you, like, anything. Like, you got to have some people in your life like that. So sin or bad behavior or any other negative actions have become acceptable, even understandable, because, well, I've had a hard life and I deserve to do all the bad things that I want and you can't stop me because it's my truth. And this is the age that we live in. But friends, those who are living in that world are so hopeless and they need the hope and the peace of Christ. This is the only thing that's going to even salvage their life. But I can't give it to them if I'm arguing with them. I can't give them it if I'm going to go, okay, we're going to go man on man right here, and we're going to have this debate. No, I'm going to say, you know what? Hey, you think differently, but I'm going after Christ. You are welcome to come with me and see what he does in your life. This is what's going on in our world today. Can you turn to Isaiah chapter 29? Isaiah chapter 29. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 16. And I have about a half more sermon here, so we're going to figure out how to do this, Pastor Louis. All right. I just may have to come back for... Okay, it says this. Isaiah chapter 29, verse 13 through 16. It says this. The Lord says, these people come near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Their worship of me is based merely on human rules they have been taught. Therefore, once more, I will astound these people with wonder upon wonder. The wisdom of the wise will perish. The intelligence of the intelligent will vanish. Is that not just what I shared? Verse 15, woe to those who go to great depths to hide their plans from the Lord, who do their work in darkness and think, who sees us? Who will know? You turn things upside down, as if the potter were thought to be like the clay. Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, you did not make me? Can the pot say to the potter, you know nothing? This is, I'm like reading that, I'm going like, that's happening right now. Is the Lord not wise that he understands what we're going through? This is why I love the word of God. It's living and active, so I can read this and go, oh, Lord, okay, here we are. This is why this series is so valuable. I want to share a quick, in Joshua chapter 5, Joshua chapter 5, the commander of the Lord's army, he comes to Joshua, right, as he's about to take Jericho. I mean, they are in battle mode, right? And the angel of the Lord comes in, and Joshua with his all of his stuff, his sword and everything else, he goes, are you with us or are you with the enemy? And what does the commander of the Lord's army say? Neither. I'm not with you, and I'm not with them. And this is what I would like to point out to us today, is I'm not with them, and I'm not necessarily here. I'm with Jesus. So the commander of the Lord's army, this is maybe some would say a type of Christ, is Christ saying, I'm not with you. You are with me. So it's a great question. Am I trying to get Jesus into my bubble and my world and my thinking, or am I entering into his ways? Am I walking with Jesus in his ways that are so much wiser than my own? That's a passage I continually go to, just thinking, Jesus, I want to be with you. Jesus does not identify with us. We identify with him. Being conformed to the image of Christ, that's the Romans 8:29. And this is our Christian identity. A Christian identity isn't, I'm a Christian and I love Jesus. Your Christian identity should be, I follow after Christ. And because of that, of course I'm with Jesus. But I follow after Christ in all of the ways. Not just some of the ways. Not just my Sunday best. I follow Jesus all of the ways. A really quick thing, the word Christian, the very first time it's referenced in the Word of God is in Acts chapter 11, right? The persecution of the church has started, and all of the apostles were going everywhere and starting churches and being missionaries, and man, the church began to spring up left and right. So they got to Antioch, where all of the Samaritans were, the Gentiles were, and Gentiles were coming to, like, receiving salvation left and right. So all of a sudden, they're feeling like, hey, we're not just the Israelites. We're Christians. We're together in this. And the reason the passage came up, it says the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch, and most scholars say it's because they couldn't stop talking about Christ. So they were finally like, man, you talk about Christ a lot. You must be a Christian. Oh, that we would be known for talking about Christ. Oh, that we might be known for laying down my flesh and being sacrificial like Christ. Oh, that I might be known for having a temper and a measure like Christ that doesn't fly off the handle or get bitter or frustrated or angry, that I might go, hey, I'm feeling some stuff here I'd like to talk about. Or Jesus, I see these things. Holy Spirit, you pointed them out. Forgive me. That I might have a measure and a temper that points people to Christ. It says in Matthew, it says, Jesus says, by their fruit, you will recognize them. By their fruit, you will be recognized. What kind of fruit are you producing? And I would probably even pose this question. If you don't know your identity, you're going to have some weird fruit. You might have like a pomegranate tree mixed with a cherry tree and some lemons on there. And that's just weird, guys. Like, the Lord has created you and fashioned you so specifically. And so as you lean into this, you're going to produce fruit in Christ, and that really matters. But if you're producing the same thing that the world produces, you might really want to ask the question, why do I look and feel like the same thing that the world is? Friends, Christians are marked. You are the Lord's, and you should not appear as though you are the world. We are part of the world, but not of the world. So we stand out. We shine brightly. Our Christian identity is not a label. It is a lifestyle. Okay, let me read that again. My Christian identity is not a label. It is a lifestyle. It's the way I think. It's the way I speak. It's the way I act when nobody's around, including my wife. Guys, my Christian identity is when I'm alone and when I'm with the whole. It matters. So I'm not walking with Christ just because. I'm walking with Christ because he's given me mission. And by the way, he saved us. He paid quite a price. Dietrich Bonhoeffer said this. He says, your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. I'm going to read that one more time. Your life as a Christian should make non-believers question their disbelief in God. So friends, this isn't something like I would say, like try and put weight on your shoulders and make you feel like there's a cloud over you at all. So please, I hope you hear that. But are you living a different life? Are you living a life that stands out instead of conforms in? Because Jesus says we're to be salt and light. But I don't want to be a dim light with all a bunch of other dim lights. You might call us a dimwits. Like, I want to shine brightly. And a lot of times it's hard. It's sacrificial. You're going to be recognized as being one with Jesus, like Peter and John. Unschooled, ordinary men. Does anybody else feel a little ordinary in the house? Like, pretty often I feel just like, hey, I'm a pretty ordinary person. Like, I don't feel like I have my one or two things that maybe I'm pretty good at, you know, like I feel confident in. Everything else I pretty much suck at. So I feel pretty ordinary. But the lifestyle that I live should be one that people go, you're a follower of Christ. You're different. You don't swear at work. You don't lie. You don't cheat. I mean, pretty basic things, but also like when nobody's looking. No, like I hold bar high. Why? Because Christ in me. I want to finish up with these things. So if I'm a Christian, it means I'm marked. I'm conformed by the image of Christ, Romans 8:28-29. I live to glorify God. That's Jesus saying, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. And then what? Because they see your good deeds, they glorify the Father. Because they go, wow, you were a wreck, and now you're way different. You're living I'm living a new life, a transformed life, and people recognize that. Like, you knew me as a kindergartner, Louis. I hope you've seen some transitions and transformations in my life after drinking white paint in kindergarten. I've come a long way with Aaron Reinhart. Anybody know Aaron in the house? Just a few of you. I'm made new. 2 Corinthians 5:17. The old is gone. The new is here. Can you guys say the new is here?
The new is here.
Can we say that we're marked by Christ? So if I'm marked with Christ, it's not, let me maybe say it another way. Our culture has pushed Christians into the closet, into hiding. And as a Christian, I'm calling you out. As a brother in Christ, I'm saying, come be a Christian together. Don't hide from your faith because you might get a little pushback. Don't hide because of maybe some possible persecution. Friends, the scriptures are clear. It's here and it's coming. So we've got to be able to identify, how do I stand firm in my Christian identity, the Christ in me identity? How do I stand firm as I am marked and standing out because of my faith and because I believe that Jesus has called me and made me new, and I'm living this transformed life? And a transformed life is also, Jesus says this in John chapter 13, he says that a transformed life is marked by love. I don't know about you, it takes the Holy Spirit's work in me to love everybody. Well, only a few of you got that. Like I need the work and the power of the Holy Spirit in me to love everybody well, because I don't want to. My flesh does not want to. But if I am marked by Christ, it's a sacrifice that I say, hey, this is hard, but I'm going to lay it down so that I can be known, and others might see my good deeds and then glorify the Father. My life should glorify the Father. It should be a reflection of Christ. So in everything I do, I'm going to honor the Lord, and I want to reflect Christ. I want to close in prayer. Can we stand together? Is that possible? This is what I do at church. I don't know how you guys close this out, but this is what I do. This is how I roll. Can I just pray over a couple of different things? Is that okay? I want to, and if you would, just be honest with yourself. I don't necessarily need you to all raise your hand, and maybe there's some in here who my buddy would say is spiritually unresolved. And that just means you haven't really decided that Jesus is for you. But let me tell you that Jesus loves you. He sees your pain. He sees the dark. He sees every ounce of you. There's no need to hide it. There's no need to be ashamed of it, like you shared. Thank you for sharing that, by the way. Like he so wants to be with you. And that's enough, by the way. It's just being with the Lord and being welcomed into his presence. But if confusion and chaos and control seem to be maybe the ever-present cloud around you, I want to pray for that first and just invite you, just say, yes, Jesus, in Jesus, because the power of Jesus' name brings breakthrough. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
So when I say, Jesus, you are the only one that can break through this cloud of confusion. If you're struggling with anything from the identity series that Pastor Louis has been on, any of those things, this can be the very moment that brings breakthrough. And I don't know about you, but again, I want peace and I want hope, and I need breakthrough to get there. And it's all through the power of Jesus. So let's pray. Jesus, we just love you. Lord, I thank you so much for, I would say, my Hillside family, because we're family. We're part of the body of Christ together. And Lord, when they hurt, I hurt. When they weep, I weep. When they rejoice, I rejoice. But Lord, we know that the enemy brings confusion. Confuses who we are. Confuses even today the gender that you've given us as a gift. Brings confusion in my path and my walk with you, that we would begin to entertain the seeds of doubt that were planted by the enemy from the fall. Did God really say that? Did he really mean that? So Jesus, right now, if confusion is anything that any of us have been just plagued by, in Jesus' name, bring breakthrough. Break through the chains. And friends, if that's you, just say, Jesus, break through the confusion. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would wash our hearts and our minds, that would bring clarity, that would bring peace, that you are not a God of confusion or chaos. You are a God of peace. And so if chaos is just one dramatic thing after another and all of the things, and it just seems like I can never get on my feet because I always get the rug kicked out under me, whatever, Lord, I pray that you would help us stand on our own 2 feet, that you'd put your arm around us, just like a father would their child, and point to the direction in which you want us to go. So in that, may Jesus speak truth over who he's made you to be, because he's the author of your life, and he's the one we want to listen to. So if there are any other voices speaking into the confusion and chaos, I pray in Jesus' name, may you mute them, may you silence them in the power of Jesus' name. And so, Lord, we do offer you the control of our life. We give you the steering wheel. We give you the remote control. We give you it all. We say, Lord, here's my heart and my mind. I'm walking with you. I'm going to be a follower of Christ, following after your ways, not my ways, and inviting you into my ways. And I repent of that, Lord. And I say, have your way, have your way. And so, Jesus, I pray right now, Lord, I thank you that you've made us new, that this is a miraculous event. When we say yes to you, you take the old Jeff and you say, here is the new Jeff. Here, the old is gone, the new is here. So I pray for freedom. I pray for release, and I pray for a refreshing and a reminder of who you've made us to be in that newness of life. So, Lord, I pray that as we leave, as we have conversations, as we go about the busy week that we have, Lord, you remind us of the newness of life, walking in freedom with you and not in bondage with the enemy. And so, Lord, I thank you finally, Jesus, that we can come to you and we can just in simplicity. It doesn't have to be a powerful prayer. It can just be, Jesus, heal me. Jesus, help me. Jesus, walk with me. Jesus, bring me clarity. And we can cry out to you as our loving Father who walks with us. So friends, if you want healing, it's simple. We go to the great physician and say, Jesus, heal me. Walk with me in your mighty name. In your mighty name. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you would just lead our lives, that we would each have an openness to the leading of your Holy Spirit that shows us the path of life that you've set out for us. In your mighty name. Can everybody say amen aloud?
Amen.
Amen and amen.
This has been a podcast presentation of Hillside Foursquare Church in Reno, Nevada. You can reach us via email at web@hillside4.org. That's W-E-B @hillside4.org.